Yesterday, I mentioned that 2011 was the third year in a row that not a single evening grosbeak was found during Duluth's Christmas bird count. Before 2009, the only other year in our count history that no evening grosbeaks were found was 2002. No one understands why evening grosbeaks underwent a huge decline since the late 1980s to the point where they've disappeared altogether from many areas. I had a flock of about 16 in my neighborhood every day for about 6 weeks this summer, including adults feeding young birds. But this group was the only one I've had in years, and I haven't seen one since my group left on September 15th. It's reassuring to seek out proof that things are not as bad as they seem, and some birders and ornithologists have argued that the large numbers of evening grosbeaks in the eastern half of the continent from the 1950s through the 80s were simply an historic aberration. Without a time machine, it's impossible to know the truth about what their numbers were during the 1700s and 1800s, much less further back in time. According to the species account written by Scott Gillihan and Bruce Byers in The Birds of North America, the evening grosbeak, quote, at least mid-1800s was considered uncommon to rare east of Rockies and especially east of Mississippi River, although reported as not uncommon winter visitor in Wisconsin in mid-1800s and common in northern Illinois during winter in 1870s, end quote. I'm sure Native Americans were aware of evening grosbeaks before any record was made of them in written English. Indeed, the Ojibwe name for them, as transcribed by Henry Schoolcraft in 1823, was Paushkundamo, derived from their word for breaking something such as a cherry or berry, referring to the grosbeak style of eating. Schoolcraft also provided the first record ornithologists have of the existence of the species, a grosbeak shot with an arrow by a child in Sault Ste. Marie on April 7, 1823, when the bird could have been either a resident or a migrant. This and the fact that local native people had a word for this bird don't prove that the species was regularly found in Michigan through earlier times, but it is consistent with that probability. A comprehensive study of the species published in 1940 by James Bailey mapped 82 summer records, which formed an almost continuous belt in the U.S. and Canada from southeastern Manitoba through eastern Ontario, concentrated mainly in the Great Lakes. Later expansion east of that band was attributed to plantings of box elder, the seeds of which are one of the grosbeak's preferred food sources. Until feeding birds sunflower seeds became a common hobby, I don't think most people living among them would particularly have noticed evening grosbeaks. They are secretive nesters and have no song associated with courtship or territory. They usually stay within the branches of trees, eating a variety of seeds and fruits. Adults are pretty much vegetarians, people maintaining non-breeding evening grosbeaks in captivity, even over a 2-year period, found that they did not eat any insects offered to them. But they are known to feed their growing chicks a variety of insects, including spruce budworms. Whether losses of grosbeaks are related to controls used against this forest pest is not known. The species is incredibly difficult to study, both because it's so secretive during nesting and because it wanders so very widely. But despite the difficulties a solid study of grosbeak population trends poses, it seems imperative to start trying to tease out what has happened and what is happening now to its population. If its dwindling numbers are indeed reflective of a problem, it's important to figure that out while there's still time to turn things around for this beautiful bird. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.